This episode of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine was made possible by contributions from slaves like you. Thank you very much.
We have been suffering, despite the fact that the wealth is from this part of the country. Mm-hmm. But there is no meaningful development in Niger Delta area. We have been pushed to the world, seriously, by the oil communities and the federal government. Hence, we decided on our own to form a formidable body to fight for our development.
It's the end of the world as we know it. I feel fine.
Good morning, slaves, and welcome to another edition of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine, the megaphone of the motherfucking resistance. I am your host, The Stimulator, and this week started with a tragedy in Colombia. The flying coke-sniffing murderers, otherwise known as the Colombian Air Force, bombed an indigenous village, injuring 4 people, including a 20-day-old baby. The Colombian military claimed that FARC guerrillas were in the area, but the community says that the attack was in retaliation for the resistance to a gold mine being developed by U.S.-based Mural Mining Corporation, an outfit with a spotty human rights record in the area, and a cozy relationship with the corrupt Colombian government. In the U.S., a tree sit that halted the coal mining operations of those greedy uncle fuckers from Massey Energy ended with the arrest of Amber Nichman and Eric Blevins. These brave mountain defenders have vowed not to give up the fight. Here's A Planet, one of the tree sitters who was forced down earlier last week.
I feel like there's a huge crime going on, and I have a right as a citizen to get in the way of a crime taking place.
Kicking it up a notch, an oil pipeline belonging to Royal Dutch Shell was sabotaged in the Niger Delta, forcing these nature-destroying, flea-ridden cockfuckers to halt their profitable operations, albeit temporarily. The Movement for the Emancipation of the Niger Delta, or MEND, did not take responsibility and said that the brave act was carried out by freelance commandos. But MEND did promise to continue its campaign of sabotage against the oil industry. In case you didn't know, Nigeria has been hyper-exploited and over-polluted by the oil-extracting activities of companies such as Shell. After the extreme repression of non-violent liberation movements, which culminated in the execution of renowned activist Kensaro Wiwa, Nigerian freedom fighters got sick of the bullshit and armed themselves to the teeth and formed MEND. MEND has been fighting a guerrilla war against Shell and the corrupt government of Nigeria since 2006.
The generation before us tried to adopt what we call peaceful resolution, but the federal government designed special strategies to combat us with their forces. Hence, we decided on our own to resort to this type of nation.
And speaking of pipeline bombers, convicted saboteur Wibo Ludwig was detained and interrogated and then released by the RCMP in connection to the bombings of Encana pipelines in BC. Apparently, the RCMP had DNA evidence against Ludwig, and it did not prove sufficient for the charges to stick. Some speculate that with the Olympics coming to BC, it would not look for the RCMP to have a so-called terrorist loosen their territory. On the subject of Olympic security, the city of Vancouver, where I live, looks a lot less like an Olympic host and more like the world's largest donut consumer. Cops, cops, and more cops, and the motherfucking
5 concretes of death
have not even started. Olympic security is out of control. But hey, they had to spend $1 billion somewhere. Snow tanks, frogmen, surveillance balloons, pork choppers, and more video cameras than Best Buy. And guess what their biggest threat is? Not terrorists, not man-made climate change, not even Carrot Top, but, drumroll please, you guessed it, protesters. That's right, $1 billion in security budget to intimidate the motherfucking resistance, which included a visit to yours truly. That's right, the Olympics came a-knocking, but there was nobody home. The Vancouver 2010 Integrated Security Unit has been harassing anti-Olympic activists, their families, and girlfriends since last year. In response, the motherfucking resistance held an unpermitted torch-lit march through the streets of Van City to show the motherfuckers we ain't scared.
We know that during the Olympics there's gonna be 16,000 military police and security personnel. We know that they're criminalizing the poor and putting them in jail in the downtown east side. But what we gotta remember is it's like in the spirit of everybody around the world, when the system tries to oppress us, we have to fight back.
There's a little truth. Open up your eye while you're checking out the boombox. Check the exercise. service, I'm from Overseer. You need a little clarity? Check the similarity. The Overseer rode around the plantation. The officer is on patrol in Addy Nation. The Overseer can stop you what you're doing. The officer will pull you over just when he's pursuing. The Overseer had the right to get ill. And if you're fought back, the Overseer had the right to kill. The officer has the right to arrest. And if you fight back, they put a hole in your chest. They both ride horses. After 400 years, I've got no choices. The police don't have a nickel gun. So when I'm on the streets, I walk around with a bigger one. I hear it all day. Just so they can run the light and be upon their way.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
That's the sound of the police. That's the sound of the bees. That's the sound of the police. That's the sound of the bees.
Acts of rebellion in the face of police repression inspire me to never give up. That's why I do what I do, to remind myself and others that there are more of us out there, and that if we stick together and have each other's backs, we can crack the code of this fake reality and defeat our virtual overseers. Last year, students of the California State University system took up the time-honored tradition of occupying campus buildings, like this one in Berkeley, California. The California occupations inspired acts of solidarity all over North America and as far as Vienna. As fun as that looks, I wanted to find out what was behind these mischievous acts of resistance. To get to the bottom of this, I spoke with V, Stevie, and Tashdom. Hey y'all, how the fuck are you?
Fantastic. Keeping it going.
I'm a fucking pit.
Okay, V, let's dial it down a bit. Take a deep breath. Okay, so why the fuck occupy?
So occupation is a tactic that's been used successfully by various movements. We've been taking over spaces as more than just a bargaining chip. We're using spaces that are supposed to be for us. University condones student organizing, claims to be progressive while charging students to hold general assemblies, regulating their activities, and cutting funding, especially to marginalized groups. Occupation is the only means for truly autonomous organizing that everyone can participate in, and that's why universities are so frightened by it.
And what is your beef with the governor?
Well, we certainly have beef with the governor, but he's not the only culprit in a charade for public education. The university administration has signed agreements to cut state funding as well as raise tuition in November of 2009. He's announced a plan to cut prison funding and funnel that money toward universities. This only reinforces the trend of privatization and concentrates effects on prisoners and prison workers who are already suffering.
Who are your allies in this struggle?
This movement is connected to and in solidarity with others, and students are working to collaborate more across artificial boundaries, which is great and is needed. Our movement is not solely a student movement, and there's been a lot of solidarity between campus workers, teachers, and students. And this latest round of cuts has led to workers and teachers taking pay cuts and being fired. Campus labor unions played a huge part in organizing people to protest at the UC Regents meeting at UCLA November 9th. So we're all supporting each other in this fight, which is only one part of a larger struggle.
A little bird told me that something big is going down on March 4th.
March 4th is going to be a generalized day of action across the state for public education. Many, many K through college schools will be involved in one capacity or another, and we're hoping that some radical ass shit is going to fucking go down. But you can go to occupyca.wordpress.com for more up-to-date information as the date gets nearer.
Are you trying to spark something bigger here?
So, it is true that this is sort of a grand scheme to generalize rebellion. What we're fighting against affects everyone. And it goes far beyond our campus and schools in general. We can't just hope that we can suffer through this bullshit and come out unscathed before it gets even worse. We've got to respond together, do it bigger and better, and generally get as fucking batshit hypey as possible all the fucking time. And you know, occupations and general assemblies are pretty straightforward and repeatable ways to engage in this struggle, and it needs not only grow and strengthen on campus, but all over this motherfucking world.
And that about does it for this edition of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine. Big ups to all who PayPal'd this orgiastic celebration of expletives. Mark, Christopher, Courtney, Margaret, Gilman, Rose, Brandon, Casey, Chase, Max, and Sarah. Yefastula. I also want to remind y'all motherfuckers out there that this week the five cock rings of death enter Vancouver. So to keep up with the motherfucking resistance, tune into my fucking website, stimulator.tv and vancouver.mediacoop.ca. See you in the streets.
Remember, kids, you can podcast high-quality video of this show at submedia.tv.